Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to welcome in longtime friend of the show, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. He's on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Hello,
I think we're
Will.
Efforting, Will.
Oh, we're efforting. My bad. I believe we found him now.
There
we found
you
him
go.
We found him in the hinterlands
Good
of
timing.
Raleigh, North Carolina, I believe.
Will the Thrill. What's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Will.
Day today is.
Yeah. It's a Wednesday. Short sure. week, so we kind of get confused. But I wanted to ask
it's
you about
the off season. I mean, it's just a big blur again.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Raleigh. You are in Raleigh, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Raleigh.
All right. How long have you lived in Raleigh?
Ten
plus?
70. Well, I mean, I went to school here back in the early 2000s at NC State.
Okay.
And then my wife and I lived in Greensboro for a little bit. We moved back here like 7 years ago, maybe. But I've been in and around the area for like 20 plus years.
All right, so the reason I ask is my wife and I have been talking about potential retirement spots.
Look
okay?
at you. Look at this.
Now, I'd like to move to Hilton Head or, you know, somewhere on the beach, but you need $1 billion to buy
a
house down
there. We don't
the
have
beach.
$1 billion last time we checked,
right,
Will.
But I've been to Raleigh a couple times. I took my daughter down there to look at NC State. I really like the school. I like the city. I've heard some nice things about some of the suburbs like Cary, and I'm sure there's a couple other ones. But give me the number one thing about living and number one positive about living in Raleigh and the number one negative about Raleigh.
You didn't know this was going to happen, did you, Will? This kind of sprung on you.
No, I don't mind. It's fine with me. It's better talking about whatever, like, will we trade for Chase? Chase Young or trade down?
Yeah,
like,
we've already done that.
Don't worry. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming.
Plus, I was going to like sneak in. I don't know if you guys know Jack Kergod. He lives up in D.C. He and I completed a fantasy trade in a 3-sport fantasy league last night.
Nice.
So I was just sneaking that in humble. I got Luka Doncic, no big deal. anyway, I would say the number one negative is that it actually correlates a little bit or reverse correlates with the number one positive. Because to me, the number one positive thing about Raleigh is that you are in a major metropolitan area, but you feel like you're in a southern town a lot of times, which is awesome because, you know, I mean, like we have, like we're on, you know, we're a little bit north of the city up in North Hills, which is a really nice area. You know, wasn't really developed when I was here in college. But like we have about an acre, you know, we have like close to an acre and like a sizable house. And I mean, it's, you know, a good neighborhood where like the kids can play and all that, like, you know, Robbie can play. And so like that to me is really awesome. The downside is that it is definitely getting more crowded than it ever has been. And that is, you know, like, you just wonder how long is that sleepy little town feeling going to last? I mean, like, and real estate prices are pretty nuts here right now too.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. How far away is it from the beach? Drive a couple hours, 2.5 hours.
That's the other great thing. To Wilmington, it's 2 hours flat.
Okay. That's not bad.
To like Nags, it's probably a little bit under 3. If you want to get to the Outer Banks, and then Morehead City's like 2:15, something like that. You get to Pinehurst in an hour flat, which is really nice.
Right.
And you can be up in the mountains, like up in Grandfather Mountain in like 4 hours too.
Yeah.
So that's probably the other really great thing, is that it's centrally located everything. And I hope right now, as I describe how great Raleigh is, that my good friend Zeke, who lived in Raleigh with me for years and now lives up in Alexandria and is refusing to move back, by his wife's wishes, is contemplating coming back as well.
Right. Well, I'll just live in Raleigh, and then if I go to the beach, I'll just drive to Bald Head Island. I'll drive to I don't know if that's Southport. Take the ferry to Baldhead. That place is awesome.
Beautiful. You guys should vacation together.
That's where I'll go.
We should, yeah. How are you getting to retirement so fast?
I'm just saying, at some point, I got to think about it. But
he's probably counting his chickens kind of early.
It's probably 30 years down the road. Anyway.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking about it too, but I'm just hoping I'm alive.
But I'm probably 10 years older than you.
Okay, but still,
I'll be there quicker than you are. I don't even know how old you are.
He just said he was in college in the 2000s, right, so he's definitely younger than us.
What are you, like 38?
38, exactly, yeah. And not anticipating retirement for like 30
years. I got 12 years on you, buddy.
Okay. All right, so yeah, you're definitely thinking about it. I would say that the other place I would look at, too, I might have talked about this before.
Sure.
But like, and I mean, if I say this out loud, my wife will leave me. But I mean, like Wilmington would be a good place to look too, because you're just at the beach, and the real estate there is not crazy expensive. The other place, Pinehurst, I think would be.
I would just tee it up.
Yeah,
every day.
Such a mecca. You would love it.
All right, so we'll get off retirement spots and we'll go to the NFL before we get to the draft and the prospects and all that stuff and mock drafts. What are your thoughts on Drew Brees coming back for one more? And then,
speaking of not retiring,
right,
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And then what are your thoughts on Bridgewater? What is Bridgewater going to do? So let's start with Brees.
Well, hey, Brees is given the late 30s, early 40s would-be retirees a bad look. I mean, if Brees is working, I got to keep working.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought he was really going to walk away. It seemed weird that he was making it a – although I think he handled it really well. Like, he basically said, he told everybody, listen, it's either the Saints or I'm out. His agent, Tom Condon, they've had, in previous years, have had some sort of, headbutting with the Saints as it relates to contracts. And it just seems like this is not going to be a thing. I mean, they're just going to come back, figure it out. And I never bought into the idea that the Saints were just going to flip the switch and go to Taysom Hill. Like, that 48 to 72 hours where people were like, Taysom Hill? He's a franchise quarterback. It's like, what are we doing here, people? Like, he has 13 career passes and he's 30 years old. Like, maybe you can design an offense around him. I don't know that it's going to be something he's not going to just take over from Drew Brees and just dominate. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. So I thought Brees, it was interesting last year because he missed 5 games in the early to middle part of the season with that thumb injury. And I thought he looked as refreshed as he has in like the last 5 years down the stretch. So that's interesting, like how he'll look later in the year. I think they should try to, keep the wear and tear on his arm down, keep him from getting injured, run the ball at Alvin Kamara, maybe bring in another running back to complement Latavius Murray, get that offensive line going, Andrews Peach a free agent. But I think the Saints are one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the NFC, if not the entire NFL. So I like the move by Brees to come back for sure.
Yeah. I just can't get out of my head how bad they were in the Vikings game in the playoffs. I mean, they were just awful.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like – I know that they were terrible. I almost feel like you could just put that on the pass rush for the Vikings there. I mean, Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter were just playing with their hair on fire and just Brees didn't have any time whatsoever. That defense played exceptional. And, I mean, it is – I mean, like, look, the one thing I'll say, too, about that is we saw the Packers – from 2013 to 2015, I believe, lose 3 straight playoff games on walk-off losses. The Saints have now done that. The Saints are the second team to ever do that behind that Packers team. And it really took a toll on that relationship of Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Brees is a little bit closer to the end, so maybe it doesn't have the same effect. But, I mean, that's psychologically, that is difficult to lose 3 straight years like that in horrific fashion.
Right. All right, so Bridgewater.
Pete Prisco and I talked about that on the podcast, the Pick Six podcast today. And it's, we were sort of going back and forth. I mean, I think Teddy will, I know there's a report out there from like Jeremy Fowler, my buddy, who says that could get $30 million. I mean, all due respect to Jeremy, I don't think that's going to happen. I think something in the range of like a Nick Foles contract is probably more likely, 22.5, maybe up to $25 million. And it really all depends on what happens with the other quarterbacks in this, in the domino effect. Like, if Brady stays and the Chargers decide they want to draft somebody and Tannehill's tagged and Rivers signs with the Colts, all of a sudden this game of musical chairs, I don't know what happens in Oakland, but like all of a sudden this game of musical chairs stops and Teddy Bridgewater is out of the market without, a whole lot of suitors. And so that would be you know, a little concerning if I was Teddy's agent. I actually think Oakland would be a better fit than people have really talked about with Teddy, because, you know, the system that they want to play in. I don't know if I buy the connection to Tampa Bay. I actually think Indy would be a good fit for him as well, because you can run the ball a ton and do some play action. But it's that market for him is going to be fascinating to see, because a lot depends on what the other quarterbacks do. Mm-hmm.
Joined by Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. You know, you mentioned your partner there, Richie Prisco. I think he put out a top 100 NFL free agents list. And one thing which jumped out at me, Derrick Henry was 25 and Melvin Gordon was 40. What does it tell you about the state of NFL running backs?
They're devalued.
Just don't want to pay them.
Yeah. I think Pete actually has a brother named Richie Prisco.
He does. Richie.
Yeah, Richie Prisco, Paulie Prisco, Petey, hey,
Richie. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think they really do have all three of those. They're a wild bunch. I think it pained Pete to put Derrick Henry that high. Like in his perfect world, he'd leave all the running backs off completely. Melvin Gordon killed himself with that holdout last year, right? I mean,
right.
It, you know, it's like Austin Eckler, the offense was more efficient with Austin Eckler out there. So it's hard to imagine a team really paying whatever Melvin Gordon thought he was worth. Henry to me is the interesting one though, because, you know, he topped the magical number, Football Outsiders 370 number, that typically you see wear and tear build up and a real fall off a cliff after running backs hit that number. And I don't like to pay running backs either, and I wouldn't give him $18 million or anything like that. But if there's ever a guy who feels like he might be the exception to the rule, isn't it Derrick Henry? Like, he's so big and so strong, and just like the more carries you give him, the better he gets.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, if I were the Titans, what I would do is I would franchise tag Ryan Tannehill, and I would transition tag, because you can use them both in the final year of the CBA. I would transition tag Jack Conklin, and then I would just see what Derrick Henry can get on the market and be like, look, man, like, no offense, but we have to keep the tackle here. We got to have the quarterback. See what you can get on the market. Let us know. We will, you know, we still want to sign you, and then see if you can bring him in on like some kind of discounted deal, because I just don't think there's going to be a team out there who's willing to give Derrick Henry, you know, $16 million a year or whatever it is that he wants, $18 million a year, whatever it is that he wants to top Zeke Elliott. I just think at this point there are too many teams who either, A, don't need a running back, or, B, understand the market is just, you know, you just don't win by paying running backs a ton of money.
Right, and GMs have seen the money that's been given to guys like David Johnson and Todd Gurley and the diminishing returns. Basically, as soon as those guys sign those contracts, their production falls off a cliff. So they're not going to be in a hurry to overpay Derrick Henry.
If you look at the top 10 list of running back contracts, it's like three rookie deals, Saquon, Fournette, and Christian McCaffrey. It's like four just complete albatrosses, like David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, and one other I'm missing. And then you have Zeke Elliott, who just got paid. And then it's like Deion Lewis and Giovanni Bernard. And you're like, what? Why? Why? What? How? And like Duke Johnson. You're like, what?
Right.
Why are these guys in the top 10? What's going on here? And then like the fact that the Titans have Henry and Deion Lewis as a top 10 paid running back is a little insane. So, yeah, I mean, I just think, yeah, they'll probably end up transition tagging Henry, and that would not be a terrible move. Like, they should try and sign Conklin before he gets to free agency. He won't do it, but you should try to do that. Franchise tag Tannehill and then transition tag Henry, because, you know, he has to, with that transition tag, another team has to come in and make an offer sheet. Henry then has to agree to that offer sheet, and then you get the chance to match. So it's a great deal at the running back position, because you can force someone else to set the market. And if they go lower than what Henry wants, but he wants to get the guaranteed money and he signs it, you can still get him for a great deal.
So at the top of the draft, it's interesting. I mean, it's weeks away, all right, but we've got to throw it out there. So
yeah,
you know, Burrow's showing some hesitancy, you know, using the word leverage for possibly forcing the Bengals to pass on him if they don't think they can sign him. I would still bet against it. I think he'll play there. But with Tua, you know, Tua is an enigma now, because we don't know how healthy he's going to be. I guess his pro day is going to be sometime in either late March or early April. If he shows like he's legit, then teams are going to start drooling over him. But Detroit also is a player. So Vegas put out, I don't know if you saw this, but Vegas put out the top three teams that they thought would draft Tua. And Detroit's actually at the top right now. So it's Detroit,
yeah.
Miami, and then I think it was the Chargers. But if Detroit decides to take Tua and they have to move up to two because they're afraid that Miami would take him and move up, that would be interesting if they take him and move on from Stafford. But would they, if they did that, would Tua sit behind Stafford for a year, or would they trade Stafford?
How would that work? They want to try and trade Stafford.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think there would. I mean, in a perfect world, they would probably like to trade Stafford. I don't think the cap numbers work out very well in their favor. Like, they could do it, but it's north of $23 million in terms of a dead cap. So the move you would make, at least in my opinion, is if you were going to draft Tua. And look, this is tricky because Martha Ford has come out and said that the Lions basically have to win this year if Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia want to keep their jobs. So, you know, you're running a serious risk if you draft a rookie quarterback and then trade your veteran who was playing at an MVP level last year before he got hurt. I think what they would probably do is say, hey, we're going to try and win this year with Matthew, and then we're going to roll with Tua starting in 2021, which is, what teams will do, anybody who does this will frame it as, we're like Dave Gettleman, we're on the Chiefs plan. It's like, look, it's not really a thing, but okay, sure. I mean, like, you're sitting a quarterback for a year. You don't have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but sure, go for it. I would guess that anything that gets said about the number two or number three pick or Tua or Miami's interest in Tua over the next, like, month, 2 months is probably a lie, right? Like, I get that Vegas made Detroit a possible landing spot. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a situation where Washington, maybe Washington is letting it be known that they think Detroit could take two at three, because that really benefits Washington. And then Miami comes back. You read the Miami Herald, Armando Salguero writes, Dolphins not as interested in Tua as you think. It's like, okay, yeah, that does protest a bit. I'd be like, they really like Justin Herbert. It's this silly little cat and mouse game that these teams are playing in the public. And I assume that what Miami would love to do is, convince everybody that they're not going to take Tua so Tua can fall to them at five, or, just try and reduce the cost to move up to two or three to get Tua. I honestly don't know. The Chargers have never traded up under Tom Telesco, and I don't think the Panthers would sacrifice next year's first-round pick. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see exactly what the market is to get up to number two, because that's a spot where it's not like you're moving from 25 to 10 or, 15 to 7. You're going all the way up to two, even for number five. And I just think that market is what people want for that spot will be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I could see the Lions moving on from Stafford. I mean, he's been in the league 11 years. He has zero playoff wins. I could see it. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but I could see it.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I think part of the problem when you're this, new-ish GM and head coach, and, you fired Jim Caldwell, you haven't done really well since then. In fact, you've been terrible. You have to kind of, you're playing a political game here, right? Like, you're trying to convince, the owner who's in charge that you should, have, more time to stay in there. Sometimes you pin it on the coach. Sometimes you pin it on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So maybe say, look, it's been a good run. Matthew's, a tremendous guy. We love him. He just can't stay healthy, though. We can't win these playoff games. We really think if we reboot, go with somebody like Tua, that we could really kickstart this franchise in the right direction and, really, really put our impact on. You're trying to, it's just like any business. You're trying to convince your bosses that they shouldn't fire you with this new plan of attack that you've got. So that could be the case. I personally think Stafford's underrated. I just think, I know that he doesn't have any playoff wins. I know he doesn't beat good teams, but he was on some awful Lions teams. And the guy grinds it out through a lot of pain a lot of times. I think he would, if he were on the open market, to me, he would garner a ton of money still, even with his track record.
That just sounded funny the way you said that. I think he's underrated. I know he doesn't win playoff games. I know he doesn't beat good teams.
I know he doesn't have a lot of wins. Right. He threw for what, like 5,100 passing yards 1 year? And
I know.
7-9.
All right, so I'll meet you in Raleigh. Next time I'm down there, I'll hit you up. I'll buy you dinner.
Let's do it. Great beer and food scene here, too. Yeah, there's a lot of good things about this town. I don't know why I talked about the slow southern feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you got me moving to Wilmington.
Yeah, skyrocketing real estate.
It is county real estate tax season, so I'm sort of eyeing Wilmington myself.
Yeah, you got to avoid that. All right, Will.
Thank you, Will.
All right, buddy.
Hey, see you guys. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
It's Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. Later this hour, Lars Eller is going to join us in the Washington Capitals, who, of course, engineered a deal yesterday. Center Ice with Lars Eller. That's at 8:45 here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The hunger is starting to hit me hard.
Okay.
All right. I didn't eat any breakfast this morning. I usually bring a piece of fruit, granola bar or something. I just
something
forgot.
To get you through, yes.
Oh, will there be a first? Monumental vending?
No, he's too much of a squeaker.
No. But I'm just thinking about what I'm going to have. Not really right after the show, but kind of what I'm going to have for dinner. And I know you'll be shocked, but I'm vibing on sushi again today.
Yes, you are. You got quite the Jones for the sushi.
So we usually do the segment, what did you have for dinner last night?
Okay, good.
I'm going to change it up and say,
what are we having for dinner tonight? I like it.
So I'm calling my shot.
Okay.
I'm going to go to my spot, Passion Fin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go there about 5 o'clock.
All right.
Okay. Dinner's going to be at 5 o'clock
5 p.m. I applaud. Who's the tip of the spear on dinner at 5 p.m.?
Well, I don't know if you're the tip. I'm up there. I'm usually at the tip.
Who's been the ringleader?
Okay,
Valdez?
I'll give it to you.
Valdez?
Cakes, you're the spearhead.
Thank you. Tip of the spear.
I'm just telling you.
You can come along for the ride.
I've been eating dinner at 5 for a lot of years. Anyway,
I know you have.
But so I'm calling my shot. I'm going to have sushi tonight. Thinking a little salmon sushi. I might get their temptation roll. I think it's called a temptation roll. It's got chicken on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And a glass of wine, of course.
Hey, what's going on with Passion Fin?
Chicken.
What about it?
He's I got mean, stock in it.
Yeah. Are you opening
yeah,
one?
Are you a part owner and you're not telling
it's,
us?
It's just my spot. It's my favorite spot.
You know what? This is you a good question by Valdez.
Oh, there's nothing to fire
I feel
us about
like
it.
Maybe your hooks at Bonefish went away.
Yeah, no. Bonefish, like, Bonefish is still
yeah, does
a good spot.
Is Bonefish aware of all this?
Yeah. I still got a Bonefish.
Hold on. Do
in fact, I went to Bonefish on Saturday
night.
Do
you only do bits for restaurants with fish in the name? Is that kind of your thing now?
Kind of.
Passion Fish, Bonefish.
It's not Passion Fish, it's Passion Fin.
Oh, Fin, okay.
Yeah, right. But nobody would know that you went to Bonefish because you don't say it. But if you if you drive by a Passion Fin, you let everybody know.
Oh, that's Lurch's spot.
You don't think I talk about Bonefish enough?
I haven't heard you say Bonefish
Maybe he's
in
working.
You know what? I'm going to give Bonefish another plug.
You know what it is? Is that Bonefish, he already has that hook.
Yes. So it's already been developed.
He already gets the hero bill.
Right.
So now he's trying to develop a hero bill from Passion
Fin. Yeah, I don't hate it.
Is that what the thing is? Is that you're trying to get the Bonefish treatment?
That's his meta game.
I just like it a lot. But Bonefish I still love. And in fact, I'm going to be at Bonefish on Thursday. This Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Yes. For their perfect pairings menu.
Ooh, let me see it. Can I look at the pairings?
I will. All right. Course one is blackened tuna and ahi tuna sashimi.
Okay. It sounds delicious. What does it get paired with? Some sort of drink?
With a King Estate Willamette Valley glass of wine.
Ooh.
All right. Course two, three-piece shrimp skewer, filet mignon 6 ounce, Chalk Hill Sauv Blanc and Swanson Merlot.
So surf and turf.
Could you give a bigger plug for non-advertising?
They asked for it. They just said never talk about it.
They didn't ask for the pairings.
And then course three is a macadamia nut brownie and ice cream.
I'm a big fan of that. That's one of my top desserts.
So it looks delicious.
All right, so I'm doing an injustice to
that has a little raspberry spread, by the way, that dessert.
Yes. So I'm doing an injustice, I guess, to Bonefish recently, but I'm going there Thursday.
Yeah. You're gonna make the amends.
So you want to know what we're doing for dinner? This is rare. I actually have plans to hook up with some boys at a new spot in Kentland. It's called the Doghouse. It's a beer garden. I don't know if it's technically beer garden or doghouse, but I'll have a couple of IPAs, have some food, and hang out with some of my boys, including Frank the Chef.
Frank the Chef. We all have Frank the Chef.
Some of my other buddies.
Where is Frank the Chef a chef now?
It's kind of hard to describe. He took kind of a corporate job.
Oh, okay.
Ah. Seeing that it's 8:31 a.m., I don't have dinner plans yet.
Right.
Maybe I'm weird. Valdez, is that weird that I don't have dinner plans?
By the way,
at 8:31 in the morning.
This will outrage you. I believe I'm hooking up my boys post 7 o'clock.
I don't know how you do that.
NBC so Sports Washington, get
seven.
This. Oh, 7 p.m. dinner. What? During the week?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Does anybody eat at home?
No, I might. Try not to.
I did last night.
I might be eating at home tonight.
I did for the last two nights, and it was boring.
But boring saves money, right?
It does save money. That is correct.
I've already talked about how much I spend at these places, all right? It's a poor life decision, but I'm addicted to it.
You say passion fin a couple times, you won't spend anything.
Yeah, that's his metagame.
It's a very good point.
No, but I'm going to do passion tonight and the fire and ice perfect pairings at Bonefish tomorrow.
How many times a week are you going to passion fin?
Dude, he said it was about five times a month.
Yeah.
Why don't you just start doing heroin? I think it's cheaper. It probably feels better.
I'm sure it does. It's probably at least once a week, sometimes two.
When you go in, do people know you when you go in there, like the bartenders and servers?
Yeah, yeah. All
and
the servers.
Oh, yeah. He's 7 feet tall. Of course they know him.
Melissa, Tiffany, Elaine.
You know them all by name?
Yeah,
this is absurd.
But what's funny is that's their American names. They're all Chinese.
Okay.
So they give themselves American names. You know they do that, right?
How would I know that?
If you go into Chinese restaurants,
is it sushi Japanese?
It's definitely Japanese.
Yes, sushi is, but all of the servers
are
all Chinese.
Okay, I don't know how you know all these nuggets, but I guess you've gotten to know these people very well.
Well, it's a fact. And anyway, so a lot of them will pick an American name because it's easier for customers to say.
So they'll be like, my name is Janet.
Correct.
And otherwise, you wouldn't be able to really pronounce her name.
Melissa, Tiffany, Elaine, all born and raised in China.
Hmm. Okay. China.
I'm telling you, that happens all over. It's not just it's sushi restaurants.
You know what? If you're telling me it's happening, I'm going to have to just believe it.
If you go to just a random Chinese restaurant and a girl's name tag is Susan, or she wasn't born Susan.
I don't even think about these things.
You guys, Casey, you're right.
Were they born yesterday? Seriously.
Dude, I go into the same Chinese restaurant all the time, and I never
ask their names. I get it.
I never ask their names, and I never start thinking, like, well, is this person from China or Japan or Vietnam, perhaps, or Thailand? I don't know where
they're
from.
What about our valet's names? They're not Chinese. They're probably from Somalia.
I have no idea.
Their names.
I don't know their names.
They actually have their legit names.
Who's talking about?
You can't pronounce.
The valets, the homeboy.
Oh, Baruch. Sweet. Baruch's my buddy.
I like Baruch. I didn't know his name until you told me his name.
Yeah, Baruch.
I know Craig, and I know Chris. Though I haven't seen Chris in forever.
Chris got promoted.
Okay, he got promoted. He's up the ladder.
Yeah, so he's not actually parking cars anymore.
Yeah.
But Cliff.
Is Baruch the taller one?
Yeah, he's the taller one.
Who's the happy one? You know who I'm talking about.
I don't know his name.
Yeah, you're spacing on him a little bit.
Start with a D.
Something
it's
similar.
It's really long.
Yeah. See, you're developing relationships with all these people. The extent of my relationship, for the most part, is walk up, say hello, exchange a pleasantry, and thank him for the keys. And then you turn right out onto the street.
Right.
You're having full-on conversations and...
Here's why, Cakes. You and I pay monthly.
Right.
Actually, I don't even pay monthly. I pay every 2 months.
Right.
I give him a big bag, right?
Yeah.
Jason gives him $2 every trip.
I don't understand
it. So he has to have a little bit more of an interchange.
Yeah.
$4 a day.
He's got more of a back and forth.
An exchange.
It is what it is. Anyway, any other questions?
I have lots of questions.
Anything else?
Oh, I have a theory.
Okay, I'd love to hear it.
I think you have a buddy who is like the GM or owner there or something like
that. Passion?
Yeah, Passion.
No, incorrect.
Or like maybe one of your boys
the owner.
Or from another restaurant, you know, opened up Passion.
No, Jason gets like this.
I've never met the owner.
This is like the place
it's
in Ocean City.
It's really obsessive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is. I'm obsessed with sushi now.
What's the name of the spot?
Fausto's.
Yeah.
Fausto's.
This is like his
But that's not even the name of the restaurant. That's the weird thing. It's right. That's not even the name.
Restaurant di antipasti.
Yes.
Whatever. That's not di antipasti. Antipasti.
I'm just trying to. I'm trying to figure it out.
Also because known as a fancy Italian place that is now in what used to be like a Wendy's.
Right.
Okay, it's fine, the Wendy's shell around. I know it is, but it's a little tilted.
He did that because the rent was cheaper.
I understand.
It's fishy. You created
fishy? I see what you're doing.
You created a segment to say what you're having for dinner tonight.
Oh, well.
And tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's because I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it.
He's such a planner. He has dinner tomorrow night planned.
That, the outline, by the way, I saw blank spots on all the segments.
Yeah, right.
By the way,
and you didn't want to talk about ugly Irish guys.
This is more interesting.
Yeah, it's a silly segment.
By the way, the weekend you probably don't eat at home. You're going on a streak of going out to eat for dinner.
You're on a freaking heater.
It's just stupid.
Right? So Wednesday night, Thursday.
That's the reason I have less money than you people.
I'm sure that's the case.
I go out more than you guys for dinner.
Hey, we say you, not you people.
Yeah. Well, man.
Oh, now I'm the guy with the sight trained on me. Right. I understand.
Yeah, hey, will you bring some back for us tomorrow and we can kind of taste test it?
Day-old sushi? You don't want that.
No, you can't.
I want it nice and fresh.
I see what all the hype's about.
Well, just go there. Bring your wife or your
He's
friends.
He's drive to Ashburn to eat sushi.
Is that good?
Is it in One Loudoun?
No, it's not. It's further west.
That means nothing to me.
Why am I getting killed on this?
It's just funny.
There's nothing fishy about it.
I think it's the frequency of the plugs.
Well, people believe there's something to it.
Do you do the miso soup? As a warm-up?
Believe me, the plugs for bonefish way outweigh the plugs for passion fin over
history
the years.
Of it. Yeah, but it's just in the last couple weeks. Yeah. You would suspect something. So I am going to a place called either Doghouse or Beer Garden. It's combined, right? Uh-huh. If all of a sudden I brought that up next week and the week after and the week after, you'd be like, what's going on with JP and Doghouse?
Okay, well, it's not like I walk in there and I just, you know, have comp bills all the time.
Right.
It's not the case. And I don't know the owner. I just am comfortable with the place. I like it.
I'm stunned you don't know the owner or the GM
of the
place.
See, the thing about bonefish.
Yeah, but here's his metagame. He's hoping that the owner hears it, gets siced, and then introduces himself to Jason.
And now all the sales donks back in the cubes, they're going to be speeding out to wherever it is to try to get
them
to spend some
money.
Because
let's be real, one of our best hookups in the last couple of years was simply something we did on the air, get that Stanley. Then an establishment used that motto, and the guy was like, hey, I should hook the guys with gift cards. And then at one point gave us a monthly gift card.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's true. Well, like I said, I've never met the owners, and I'm guessing that the owners are probably not listeners of the show because they're probably born and raised in Wuhan.
They might be. I don't know.
All right, so they're not going to listen to the junkies talk about mock drafts.
Right.
Right.
Or ask Will Brinson about Raleigh real estate prices.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it is what it is. So you don't know what you're having. What about Drabby?
I don't know.
You're obviously going to stay in and cook, right?
Yes.
He's probably going to make nachos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I got one of those home prep meals.
You got like a HelloFresh deal.
HelloFresh.
Oh, yeah. You're going to do HelloFresh
tonight. It wrecks me.
You're going to do HelloFresh?
That's just wasting money, in my opinion.
Is it? Well, why don't you stop it?
Yeah, she likes the bonding.
Oh, the bonding.
Bonding and making the meal together.
Yeah, okay, we did that. My wife and I did that for a year.
I've bonded enough.
We don't do it anymore.
Enough bonding.
What's the other one we did? It's not HelloFresh. It's the
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron is what we did. Yeah. Well, Blue Apron, I was an endorser.
Yes, you were.
So I wasn't paying for the boxes.
I understand how endorsements work.
Yeah, so.
You don't know pressure until you open your refrigerator on a Thursday and you see that you have three HelloFresh meals still to cook for the week.
All right, what do you have tonight?
And all you want to do is go to one of the spots that you can walk to.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to go to Glory Days.
You have to make prosciutto wrapped chicken.
Right. Or you can walk to Wendy's or there's a pizza spot, right?
All kinds of pizza places.
Yeah,
that's a good spot.
Jalapeno burgers. A cheeseburger. I don't know.
All right, with peppers in them.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, my friend?
Hamburger.
I have some meat in the fridge. I'll probably cook a piece of fish on top of rice. Been trying to eat more fish lately.
Very good. Look at you.
That's another thing I'm doing.
A big fatty.
AWOD, you can have 20 Jameson shots for dinner.
It is Wing Wednesday.
Very good.
Where?
I like to go to this place, Fillmore. They bake their wings and then douse them in buffalo sauce.
Chicken.
chicken.
Sounds good, but.
Hey, you know what we have to do next? We have to ask Lars Eller what he's having for dinner.
Sorry. We took up too much time. I'm sorry.
That's probably the move.
Nice transition because we are going to talk some Capitals. Center Ice with Lars Eller is next here on the Junkies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's our pal Lars Eller for Center Ice with Lars Eller, driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. Good morning, Lars.
Morning, guys.
Should we be worried about your team? You've lost 6 out of 9, lost 2 out of 3 on the road. How worried should we be?
No, I don't think we should be worried. There's certainly no sense of panic in our locker room. We are going through a rough stretch where I think we're not on top of our game. We're not playing our best hockey right now. You know, every team goes through this at some point in the season. And we need to be on top of our game when we hit April. But of course, we want to turn this ship around as soon as possible, and we know we have a lot better than we've shown the last, most of February.
Lars, what is the dynamic like in the locker room right after like a loss to the Golden Knights? Is it calm and composed because you know it's still part of a long stretch of the season to get to the playoffs, or are guys upset? What's it like immediately after the latest loss?
It's quiet. Majority of the guys are quiet. A bit of there's always, you know, some frustration, and everybody hates losing. No doubt about that. But I think guys are still calm and composed, and we move on from these things quickly. But you know, a room is always quiet after a loss.
All right. So Lars, you guys made a little move. front office went out and got Brendan Dillon from San Jose, trade a second-round pick and a conditional third. He's a defenseman. He's 6'3", 230 pounds, an enforcer, I guess you can call him.
He's got nice hair, too, really nice hair.
He's got good hair.
Yeah.
He's played in a lot of playoff games. He went to the finals in 2016, so he's got experience. But he does go to the penalty box a lot. All right, got to cut down on that. Do you welcome, when you guys make a trade before the deadline, what's the vibe around the team? Do you welcome it, or are you sad that you're probably going to see another guy either get traded out or maybe get sent down to the minors? How does that, what's that dynamic like?
Yeah, I know. I won't speculate into if there's going to be some kind of domino effect on other things that's going to happen, but I think he's a very welcome addition to our team. I think he's, you know, he's a solid player, has been in the league for a long time, has experience. I think he checks a lot of boxes. Can probably go in immediately and play, you know, and I think you need to, it's always good to have some depth, especially on D and going into the playoffs. You know, with, last year we lost Kempney not long before the playoffs and couldn't probably, you know, that hurt us a bit. So I think he's going to make our team better.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten a scrap with him? I know Hathaway has.
No, I don't. I think he definitely brings some sandpaper to draw a lineup along with Hath and some other guys. You know, he brings a physical, some physicality to our lineup, which is always welcome. I think he's going to fit in very good with our team.
Have you met him yet?
No, I have. I think he's arriving this afternoon, so I don't think he'll be in practice today, but we'll probably see him in practice morning skate tomorrow.
So he'll play tomorrow, right?
You would have to ask Todd. I don't know, but I think he'll arrive here in D.C. later today.
Gotcha.
Lars, how nerve-wracking is it to be in an NHL locker room with a trade deadline less than a week away, knowing that you or a teammate, you could be dealt away to another team at any point? What's that like?
I think for a lot of guys, it's definitely something that's in the back of their heads, and it if you're not thinking about it, it's probably not always, it wouldn't be quite accurate. I think, you know, personally, I've been through some years where you know that was a possibility that was going to happen. I'm not too worried this deadline, but it just comes with the job. If it happens, it happens. And if you don't, you just keep going about your businesses and being a pro. It's the nature of business that there's no certainty. I think it's not something that's taking up it's not something that feels. It's being discussed a whole lot in our room right now, or talked about. You know, we're aware of it, but we're just going about our business, focusing on the next upcoming games.
Big question coming into this interview was, what is Lars Eller going to have for dinner tonight?
Yeah,
have you did broach that before we forget.
Have you planned that out? Have you planned it out? I mean, dinner's like 9 or 10 hours away.
Yeah, what's your wife making tonight?
He might be the cook. It's assumption.
Actually, my wife put down a grocery list and recipes for our housekeeper today. I'm not sure exactly what's on the menu, but it's usually pretty good. You switch it up a lot.
The housekeeper does the grocery shopping?
Yeah.
It's a nice perk, right? Yeah, it's a great perk.
Look, when you're rich, you can afford
to
do that.
Let me ask this. Lars, what is a food that you just detest, but like you just can't stand it, you won't eat it, something that like you see and you just refuse to eat?
I don't know right on top of my head. I'm really pretty good with everything, seafood, greens, meat, chicken.
All right, this is an important question. What is your take on cottage cheese?
Yeah, no, I'm not a huge cheese guy, especially not cottage cheese is.
It's gross.
I'd say I've tried it once in my life. I'm not.
Yeah, I agree.
No, yeah. I don't need to.
Smart guy. Again.
You know what else is gross? You know what else is gross?
What?
Guacamole.
No, it's great.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's so good.
I like guacamole.
Oh, it's so gross.
Can Lars Eller, when he goes home to Denmark, can he get fresh guacamole in Denmark?
I can definitely get, I can get fresh avocados. Usually, I think the best way is to make the guac yourself.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Hey,
very good.
Hey, yeah. Lars, I'm calling tomorrow a bounce back Thursday. Okay. Because you went out west and lost 2 of 3. Okay, whatever. Pittsburgh is now overtaking the Caps in the division because they won last night. But Montreal's lost 5 straight, and they lost to the horrific Red Wings last night. They blew a 2-goal lead in the third period. All right, so they suck. I am calling this a bounce back Thursday to pound Montreal.
Maybe Lars Potts won against his former team. How about that? Maybe he finds the back of the net.
There you go. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to see us bounce back tomorrow. I think all the right things are being said in the room. We know what to do. We just got to go out and do it. And no better place to do it than at home at Cab One Arena tomorrow.
And then Sunday is a real big one, bud.
Sunday is a real big one. Those are the fun games. We should be highly motivated, this team, to go and, you know, play Pittsburgh at home Sunday. Looking, definitely circle that one on the calendar.
Yeah, what do you think about the noon puck drops? You like those?
Noon is a little bit early, I think. Yeah. I 2-3 o'clock, it would definitely fit me better. But in general, I like the early games. I do, but noon is a little bit early.
All right, well, get some sleep Friday night, buddy. Or that's like Saturday night,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't you guys play Saturday during the day? It's a back-to-backer, right?
No, they play Thursday.
Don't they play Thursday, Saturday, Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I think they play
in Jersey.
I think
we play Friday, in Jersey?
I thought you played Jersey on Saturday.
We'll have to check the schedule, okay?
Right. Does nobody Saturday, know the schedule?
I think I'm right on
I
this
think
one.
You are, too.
All right, well,
sounds like Lars needs to check it.
Before going into the weekend?
No, just get a lot of sleep, buddy. A lot of sleep.
Okay.
All right, Lars.
Stay away from the guac.
We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
That's Lars Eller.
See you, bro.
Center Ice with Lars Eller, driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence.
Canadians at Caps tomorrow.
Yes, I knew
Capitals
that.
Capitals at Devils Saturday, 1 p.m.
Ooh.
Penguins, Capitals, 12
that's
p.m.
I look at
Sunday.
The
quick turnaround for the Capitals.
They were playing a couple of poopies before they played the Pens.
Hey, don't just start counting wins, JP.
I'm just saying.
Don't start doing that.
I didn't count a win. I'm just stating the obvious.
I mean, I know they're number two, but
it's poopy.
The Caps are in a bit of
the
a rough patch.
Poopy. They're playing a couple of poopies.
All right.
That's just the fact.
Bounce back Thursday. All right. Let's get on it. Get on it.
Why'd he get so wreck?
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I'm fine.
I'm okay.
I was
counting the chickens.
Like Cakes doesn't count chickens. He picks losers all the time.
I never count the chickens, ever.
All right. Well,
never underestimate opponents.
Hopefully tomorrow it's a big win, 4-1.
All right. Thank you to Lars Eller. We're the Junkies, coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.